Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the One Woman's Had a Dream podcast number 76. I cannot believe we're that far. My name's Danny. Unfortunately, Lee is slightly under the weather, slash massively under the weather. He won't be joining us tonight, but we've got a fantastic pod available to us. We're talking about Grimsby. Who wouldn't want to talk about Grimsby? The Wimbledon to-do list. We've got lots of wonderful things to talk about. We're going to talk about one of my favorite players at the moment, Harry Pell, and the way he goes about his business. Do we like it? Do we not? We might sneak a little bit of a conversation about the Don's trust in there. And congratulations to those who elected. We'll talk a little about Swindon and, of course, Super Johnny Jackson. He's becoming more and more super by the day. But without further ado, I'd love to welcome our wonderful guest, Nick Lehman. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, good.
It is
Good, thanks
wonderful
very
to have you
much.
all. Thanks. So
Thank
just so you know, Nick just literally popped up to the game and said, I fancy doing your podcast. And it was that simple, wasn't it? Literally a conversation and you're on.
Exactly that. Yeah, thanks for having me on. So yeah, bit of an insight to my daily life. So as you can see, we're doing up the house. We're
I
also
can
doing up
see
the
it looks
kitchen.
amazing. For those who don't know, it makes Sarajevo look like a great day out.
Or Feltham away, remember that?
Yeah. Oh, both similar places, Sarajevo and Feltham
The
away.
bombed out stand for those who remember. Yeah, so we're also doing up the kitchen, and we don't have a dishwasher at the moment,
Oh,
so often I'll have a massive pile of washing up to get through, and I stick on the podcast and
oh,
listen.
stop it.
I listen to you guys, and then every week you're like, if you want to come on, all right, now's.
And this week is the week
Yeah,
when they had
now's my
no washing
time.
and you thought on doing it. Oh, well, you're very welcome, mate. Well, obviously, as you know, with the podcast, we are sponsored by Boardmasters. We're very, very grateful for all of their support. And Merry Christmas to everyone today as we enter the Christmas spirit. So, as you know, obviously, you are now a seasoned washing up slash podcast listening veteran. And I always talk about something random. And I want to ask you about random things that happen at football matches, but you don't really know why. So, the reason why I say it is obviously Grimsby. The guy's gone out for the header and hit the floor, and he's completely poleaxed. And obviously he's down, and everyone doesn't know what to do. And for some reason, when they pick him up, everyone starts clapping. So I'm like, are we clapping the fact that he's injured and he's okay? Are we clapping the fact that we can get on with the football? Are we clapping the fact that aren't the first aiders fantastic? But I was just curious, what do you think? And are there any other random things at football matches you feel like, why do we do that?
I think it's probably the first one. I think it's we wish him well. He's got a serious injury.
Because it
We
is
hope
weird, isn't it? Like you're clapping
hope
him,
he's
like
all
well
right.
done. Yeah. Rather than going, are you okay? Like a massive. Can you imagine a chant? Are you okay? Are you okay? We don't. We just clap. But yeah, it's a bit of
And
a weird one, that.
also to feel good about ourselves, like what a good bunch of people we are.
What a. All the Grimsby fans on the way home, what a super bunch of chaps they were thinking. But the other thing I find really weird, though, is particularly around like injury time. You know, on the board, it has like 90 plus five. I just don't really understand why the timer just doesn't keep going. Like the scoreboard's there. You can see it's 90 plus five. Why leave everybody in suspense and go, is that 5 minutes? Is that 5 minutes? Why don't you just leave it going? I don't really, I've never really understood why that happens.
Yeah, so they keep it running on the TV, don't they?
They do, yeah. And so you know exactly when it is. But when you're at the game, it doesn't do it. Now, there is obviously an argument that it could be potentially because the referees might change the injury time, but you kind of feel like, well, in the 21st century, sorry, you can just go, yeah, we'll just put another minute on it, and then everyone knows where they're at. Yeah, I find that a little bit weird. But I was just, yeah, I don't know. Are there any other weird things that happen at football that you're like, I genuinely don't understand why you're doing that? I mean, the other one I was talking about was the tracksuits. Like, we've done the warm up, everyone's running around going crazy, and then you just walk out. You line up and then you play. Like, do we need a tracksuit? I mean, don't we just get on with it and we're ready, we're warmed up. Just get out and get going, don't you? I mean, and where am I going? Or am I slightly unscientific in this, young Nick?
I think it's commercial, right? It's sell some merch.
Sell some Stephen Merchant. Oh, that would be stunning. Okay, so let's talk about Grimsby. Go on, fire away. You were there. I saw you, obviously. Thoughts?
I first of all, before I forget, and obviously they're listening to get the opposition view on the game. Like, shout out to the Grimsey fans who came in numbers, right?
Yeah, there were loads,
I
weren't there?
reckon there
Proper
might even
loads.
have been more Grimsey fans there than there were Leyton Orient fans.
And for a half 12
Brilliant.
kickoff, that must have been
Yeah.
serious.
And what some strikes? It wouldn't have been easy to get down. So yeah, fair play.
So what do you think
Fair
of the
play.
game?
I wasn't expecting that result after the first half. I think they bossed us first half.
Yeah, very physical, weren't they?
Yeah, physical, but they look handy up front. I think Makatila, number 10,
Yeah.
and like he looked useful. I haven't seen the highlights back, so I don't know. There's one where he got through, went around Zanev, put
He
it in. I
scored
don't
in,
know if that
yeah.
was
It looked
blatantly
offside on
offside,
the replay, and there
or
was
was
a few
it?
guys on social media who were in line, and they were like, no, he's definitely off,
Yeah.
which is handy.
And then the weird thing is just that I thought, yeah, at halftime, I thought we looked all right going forward, and there's more of a maybe two good attacks, defense is not so good. And
Yeah.
then they just didn't come back out for the second half.
You
And
do you feel like they didn't come out, or do you feel like we were really positive and we negated what they were doing?
if we change something
Yeah.
tactically, I didn't spot it.
Okay.
So it was the same personnel. I think the setup was
I mean,
similar.
the formation didn't change, did it?
Yeah.
You don't feel like maybe, I mean, I felt like in the first half we kind of got a little bit bullied, and they were quite. I actually thought they were one of the better sides we see. I thought they were quick. I thought they were strong. I thought they put us under real pressure, and I felt like in the second half we just seemed to. I'm not going to use too many ridiculous football cliches about Wimbledon, etc. But I kind of felt like we had to really sort of battle. I definitely don't think we get that result 2 months ago. I think that's a classic example of us finding a way. Basically being, teams in form, they find a way to win, don't they? Do you think a win was fair? What do you think was fair on Saturday?
I think we're fortunate to win, but I'll
Okay.
take it.
No, 100. Oh,
Yeah.
crikey, absolutely. Yeah, I would. I mean, I would
Yeah.
definitely take it.
And kind of, but it's, that's what you want from Wimbledon, a smash and grab. I don't think it was smash and grab. I think we were well worth it in the second half. We played well. We nullified them. But yeah, after that first half was a bit heavy going at times, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think they're going to struggle. I know they're not playing overly brilliantly, but I don't look at them and feel like they're going to be a bottom three, four team. I looked at Gillingham. They've only scored six goals all league, 20 games, six goals, Gillingham. I was like, crikey. And I saw them. They were losing to Dagenham when I left them. But I feel that they're decent. I just feel like at the moment, Chislett is just becoming a player who has got a really good knack of being in the right place at the right time. I've always thought he's very, very, very good technically. I wasn't sure whether he was gonna. I thought the pitch might. It sounds a bit weird, this being a professional footballer, but I thought the pitch might be a bit too big. I think he'd be an unbelievable five-a-side player. But again, for him, he's obviously got a fantastic sort of partnership and relationship with Pell. I thought Chislett was excellent. I think his set pieces have been good. I think he works really, really hard, and he's definitely someone at the beginning of the year, I thought he was going to be an okay League Two player. He seems to have really kicked on, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a bit of an unsung hero. And it's a weird one because last year, yeah, he wasn't effective at League One level and he wasn't getting a game. But obviously, Johnny Jackson likes him. He's started most games, right?
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's.
Not all
I
of
can't.
them.
Pretty much all of them, really.
And he's weighing in with goals. Yeah, he's an asset. And I wouldn't have. If you'd asked me kind of who'd be the players to emerge like this season, I wouldn't, well, not sure I'd have said any of them. Like Jack Curry wouldn't have been on the radar.
No, he'd been well
Would
off it. Yeah, he
have.
was great, wasn't he?
Jack, oh, he's great. I know, Lee loves him. He's
I think
got
that's an
big
understatement of the year.
big hopes for him. Yeah, no, it's amazing that what he's playing Conference South
Conference
last
South,
year.
he has a really, really weird knack of just like nicking the ball. Like he kind of goes into a tackle and you never think he's going to get it, and he just gets it and looks to be aggressive. And again, considering it's his first season in League Two, I personally feel like a Sal then Curry are the next two potential big money spinning players for us. I think he was good. I also thought Billa was actually quite good. I was going to ask you about that. Whether I don't know if you how much you've seen this year, but you've obviously got Gunter, Ogundeh, and Billa. What would you kind of where would you put your 1-2-3 at the minute for the right back position?
I'd still go Gunter.
Oh, really?
I mean, because the other two are still, kind of just starting out at first team level. But yeah, they've held their own. What I'd say about Gunter is, and this goes for a lot of players, much more comfortable in the back four.
Yeah, I feel like we've kind of stumbled across that. I don't think we'll go back to a back three again, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think I don't know if I'm kind of ju jumping in the discussion like Johnny Jackson. I think he's made the changes now. I think a lot of the fan base saw that those changes were necessary before he did,
Yeah.
and it's nice that he's caught up, but it's a bit worrying that.
I mean, we don't. We can just, we can be fluid, Nick. We call it fluid. We're like the this podcast is like the Dutch total football side of the 74. We can move anywhere. Obviously nominated for manager of the month. I'm totally with you though. I don't. I feel that he stumbled across this. I don't think this is something that he's gone. And again, credit where credit's due. We've had a great month. He's got to put the team on the bench. But I do feel at the moment being the woman of manager is quite an easy job in terms of the personnel. We are what we are, really, that there's not many other variables that you can pick and change. I guess what is coming is there seems to be now a genuine belief in the team, and he has to take credit for that. So I'm not necessarily in the super Johnny Jackson bank, but my God, it's been completely different from 8 weeks ago. Would that be fair, do you think, or do you feel am I being harsh on Johnny Jackson here?
No, I'm with you. I don't think he's proven himself, but yeah, he's doing a lot better. But there's this thing in football I bug people about all the time, and we were doing it at the start of the season. This whole thing about trying to pass out from the back. But seeing it in the World Cup, I think I've counted. I've not watched all the games. I think there's at least three goals I can think of where a team has tried to start passing out from the back and just end up giving the ball away in their own third and conceding.
And it's
And I,
okay if you've got the players to do that, but we just don't have
which
that, do
which
we?
maybe only two teams have, which are Barcelona and Man City. And for some reason, we were doing it. And then you get the start of the season, Zanev's uncomfortable. The centre halves get the ball in areas they don't want. And
Watching
now,
Alex Pierce trying to pass out was like,
well,
oh my God.
exactly. And then these days, back past Zanev, he puts his foot through the ball, and I'm like, amen.
Yeah,
And everyone's
please do
happier.
that.
The
It is, and
players are
everyone seems
happier.
relaxed. We're playing further up the pitch. I always say to my dad, the only player I feel, and we're gonna drift into the Harry Pell chat, because I feel that it's not a coincidence that he's hit form, and all of a sudden we're doing better. But I feel that the only person's missing out is Paris, because I felt he was better on Saturday, but he's the one guy who actually wants to get the ball and pass it and be that kind of quarterback, if you like, gets it, moves it. But we're playing a style of football that doesn't suit him, and often the ball goes over his head. I was saying to my mates about it. I wonder, and I'm hoping, I'm sure I'm wrong, whether Paris would be better as a 10 and Pell as a 4, and Pell sit. And Paris go, but Pell's been so good. I don't think you can move him, can you?
No, he's been such an important signing. I think it's just both boxes.
Yeah.
Like when we're defending so many clearing headers, he's a tower, right? It's like 6'4", and then he weighs in at the other end, and you got the flick on Saturday for Chislett.
And how easy was that? It was like long throw, flick, goal, done. Like old school, easy football.
A
That's
Wimbledon
it.
goal. I loved
Yeah.
it.
And that's the weird thing, I guess. We spoke a little bit about our identity and what we want to be, and it was a Wimbledon goal, really. But on Pell, then, I know part of the podcast we're bringing up Parry. What I think one of the other things that he has brought into the team, whether we like it or people like it or not, is, and I don't really like the word, let's just I'll just say it, the shithousery of him, but I think it adds value. Does he get it? Is he on the right line here, or is he a bit one way or the other? Where do you sit with Harry Pell? Because Saturday was a bit ridiculous, but
Yeah, I'm with you. We can call it the dark arts.
oh, that's
That's
such,
probably another word, right?
that's exactly what I wanted to call it. I didn't want to
Yeah.
swear, but that is exactly what it is. It is a dark art, correct?
Yeah, Saturday, yeah, backfired. It's just awkward.
And it looked ridiculous because we were behind the goal, didn't it? It looked
Yeah.
ridiculous from our angle. It was like, oh, what are you doing?
And but then, because what happened, this massive scuffle followed, got heated, and we could have got. Like Assel was getting involved, we could have got players sent off
Yeah.
in that situation. I think the thing with Pell, I think he's doing it a lot in the Leyton Orient match,
Yep.
and is effective. It's kind of winding them up, and I think he's having this battle with Darren Pratley,
Yeah.
Leyton Orient, and winning it. And they were getting, yeah, he's kind of getting into them. And then Tranmere, well, I didn't go to Tranmere, but he got the guy. Sent off,
He did, yep.
peaceful first half, but I think I'm wondering if the refs are a bit wise to the tricks he tries to pull,
Yeah,
and
possibly.
maybe he just needs to kind of play a bit straight for a few games, let it pass.
He very much is the Panto villain, and I know it's at that
But
time of
yeah, but
year.
we've definitely we didn't have enough of that last. I think. For a long time, we've not had it. We've been too nice.
Yep, I agree.
And I think another thing with our form turning round, so the change of formation, kind of playing simpler, Woodyard coming back in. So
Yeah.
I don't know what he's changed, but ever since he's been back in the team, we've done so much better.
I think the one thing I feel like is at the moment we've got a lot of players where we kind of know what we're getting from them. And I felt that some players before that in key positions, we didn't quite know what we were going to get from week to week. We've got obviously Curry's been relatively consistent. Paris is very, very inconsistent, and we're not sure where we're quite kind of at. George Marsh was in and out. I just feel Woodyard, we kind of know where we're at. I feel like Pell now, we kind of know where we're at. And I feel like we've just got a level of consistency that we didn't have, and they are experienced players. Quick question then. Harry Pell signs for us in the January window last year. Stay up? Would he have made that much of a difference? Or do you feel like, you know what, that team or that squad would have burnt anyway?
I don't think we stay up.
You don't think with him?
No. So my theory on last season, the thing that killed us was getting rid of Ollie Palmer. Because yeah, he's getting injuries, but he was a guy, particularly the way Robbo wanted to play, which is get him to hold the ball up and bring the free into I think what McCormick, Rodoni, Assel into play. Once you took Palmer out of that equation, it all fell apart.
Yeah, we never replaced him,
Yeah.
did we really?
Yeah, and it's kind of such a huge gamble, and yeah, well
Yeah.
we know what the outcome was.
No, we definitely do. It
And then the
just,
thing,
yeah, go on.
sorry, the thing with Palmer, he's done a couple of interviews since he left Wimbledon. I don't know if you've seen them, but he's really clear he did not want to leave. So I know that he was really happy at Wimbledon. I think he said he wanted to finish his career with Wimbledon. So it just opens up so many questions about actually what went down.
I mean, that was the one thing that came out of it. I mean, if you think about it, yes, he's at Wrexham and he would have been paid a pretty dollar, but he's London based. All of his family are here. He's got a house. It just in, yeah, the, I think Pell's been such an important player. But I was just curious as to where you thought of that. But it's wonderful to actually talk positively about Wimbledon. It's been great. I thought, like I said, Saturday was, I thought it was a really big performance on the fact of we've obviously just got out of the cup. We've been a little bit limp in that. To have gone out and lost again, I feel like we'd have lost a lot of momentum, and I feel like we've managed to keep that to give ourselves a chance where we're just nudging on that. The playoffs are within touching distance. Again, I'm not saying we should be aiming that higher, but if we're there, it will be fascinating. And again, we'll talk a little bit about it coming up. It'll be interesting to see where we sit with that. But what we'll do, we'll have a little breather, so have a glass of something very, very lovely. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Wimbledon and its to-do list as we come up to Christmas.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
And welcome back, everybody. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Still got Nick here. So what we're going to talk about now is our to-do list. Obviously, Father Christmas is very much planning his route around sort of the Plough Lane area, dropping off his presents as he goes. And we're looking at what's on his to-do list. What are the things that we feel as a club we want to address as we come up to the Christmas period and beyond? So what I've done, Nick, is I've split it into four sections, if that's all right. And we'll talk about each one in turn. I've got team, Plough Lane, the club, and the Don's Trust. So we're going to go attack them. Give us your thoughts then. From a team perspective, obviously Father Christmas is very good these days. Looking at us with what you would like to see, ins, outs, areas to strengthen.
Probably a different conversation to a few weeks ago, I think.
Very different.
Yeah. My thoughts, I think, first 11, I think we were looking okay. I think but when you look at the bench,
yeah,
it's a bit light. And I don't know if this is a Johnny Jackson thing, but he doesn't like to make subs.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah.
Or there's no subs that he wants to make off his current bench. I think if we're going to do any business, it's to get a couple of reinforcements, guys that actually can come off the bench and make an impact.
Okay. And what positions do you feel that? Where do you feel like the? Because obviously the big debate is Zach Robinson. What would you bring him back or would you leave him out to play?
It's a difficult one because if we bring him back, he wouldn't necessarily start.
Yeah.
And this might also be a unpopular opinion because I know
I love that.
Yeah, you guys have been a bit, you know, down on Carl Hudlin and kind of what's the point?
Yeah.
I reckon we should bear with him. I think
yeah.
he's starting to make some appearances. I thought he was okay. He did okay when he came on Saturday.
It was great in the corner, wasn't it? In the corner, he really chased the ball down, and the crowd got behind him. Which he can be a little bit of a joke kind of player because he's so tall. But it was good that the fans actually got behind him for a bit. That was good.
Yeah, and the thing is, when he came on, he kind of went up top. Josh Davidson played off him.
Yeah.
Josh Davidson, he looked more comfortable.
Do you really think so? What wider?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. I think maybe because maybe his game isn't playing kind of back to goal.
Yeah, fair.
And sometimes I think we saw it. What's his face? The guy that came in last season to replace Palmer,
Cosgrove
from Birmingham.
Cosgrove, Sam Cosgrove.
Yeah, him. I don't know how he's doing with. He had a bit of a spell earlier in the season where he was scoring some goals with Plymouth.
I think he's doing all right.
So yeah, but the thing with him because he's a big lump.
Yeah.
People assume, like he's a target man. He's good at kind of playing back to goal. But maybe that's just what we were kind of putting a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And that's not the case with Davidson, who's, you know, he's been a great signing, but maybe he's he's more comfortable playing off someone else.
Okay, so you're keeping Hudlin. You've obviously got Davison. Are you thinking of bringing another forward? And if
yeah,
you're not, okay. So you were looking at a forward. Where else are you thinking? Where else do you feel like we might be?
Yeah, maybe just another like attacking player. Like, so I think Courtney Senior, he's been brought in, but I don't know if he's more like just a number in the squad.
His contract's up in January, so well, it'll be interesting to see. I personally feel like I wouldn't keep him. I think he's been okay. I think he's been very vanilla, to be honest. He's so. I wouldn't be bothering the slightest if he left or not. So you're thinking you're thinking at the business end of the pitch, attacking, you'd get the replacements.
Basically, yeah, a couple of attacking options that Johnny Jackson trusts.
Yeah,
who can help us out. Like if it's a tight game, just to, you know, back in that promotion season, like, you know, we had Akin Fenway and Aziz to throw on off the bench, like when.
God, how good was that? Any of them four, Tom Elliott, any of those four came on, was good. Big club comes in for a sale. How much do you want to sell him? January's going to come. He's going to get interest. He's been playing well. I still think he's a bit raw. I think he does lack that final pass. I think he can score goals. I think he gets in great positions, but I think his offsides and awareness is poor. But if a big club came in, a championship club, and they offered you X amount of money, how much would be enough to convince you to get rid of him? What do you want? Million? Is that too much?
I don't know if we get a million for him. I think if you compare him to Rodoni, I think, like, I loved Rodoni. I think he was more of a finished article.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, a bit more developed physically. I don't think it sounds that well. He's not going to have a great spat, right?
It'd be amazing if he did.
He's the size he is, but I don't know if what that means. I don't know if people are going to go for him.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's a bit. Yeah, it'll be a bit of an enigma.
Okay.
But then, you know, his stats are good.
I mean, his stats are good. He's physical. I think he's relatively quick. He's amazing at getting the ball back. I am with you, though, because I do feel like Rodoni's performances were very consistent, I found. Bizarrely, I don't know why we didn't play him as a 10. I'd have played him just behind the forward and played different players in different positions. Robinson liked him being on the right and cutting in. But I feel like he's very explosive, Asal, and I think he's very amazing or not great. And I think he's good at when he gets at you and he runs, he's very exciting. But his final ball is a challenge. But would you sell him if a club came in? Would you sell him in January on the fact of thinking, do you know what, we'll take the money and we might replace him, but the reality is we're not going to go up? Or do you go, no, we're going to keep you regardless? Because realistically, he goes in January or he goes in the summer, you'd think. Would you keep hold of him and see where the playoffs were? Or
I think we should. Well, it's amazing how things have turned around, because I think
it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, two months ago, everyone was, losing their cool over, you know, looking at the prospect of back-to-back relegations, sell the club, abolish the Don's Trust.
And now look at us.
You know, we were all getting worried, and now I think everyone's kind of chilled out.
It is amazing how the team's performances have a massive impact on our morale. It's incredible. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. I've put down two positions. I put down a new forward and a new centre back. The reason why I think a new centre back is, I think Riley Towler has been superb. And there's been reports this week that it looks like he'll stay for the season, which I think is a huge. I can see you. You look relieved already.
Yeah,
I think it's a huge relief, and I think he's good. And I think that him playing means that we can be a bit more flexible in the centre midfield slot. I also feel like if you've got a centre back and Riley Taylor can move forward, Bendel needs a loan. I think he definitely needs to go and play some matches regularly. I think striker wise, I wouldn't be bringing back Robinson straight away. I'd kind of see what's around in the market.
I'd see if we could sell him.
Really? What, Robinson?
Yeah. Yeah, easy money.
Yeah,
He's
well,
not.
I
We're
mean,
not going to put him in ahead of Davison. We're not going to play two up front. If
but
we can get
I guess the challenge is if he gets injured, Davison, and we've been lucky that he's played NWS every game and not get injured. If he did get injured, we're relying on Hudlin, who has been, let's be fair to him, I don't think he's been particular. He's a little bit untried, isn't he? Hudlin. I think it'd be a little bit harsh to basically say he's been terrible. But yeah, that would be me. I'd be tempted with centre backs, considering Nightingale's got a while. We've got NYC coming back on Saturday. I believe he's on the bench, or he'll be in the squad, which
Great.
is handy. Be
Massively,
interested to
yeah.
see how he fits in. But I'd be very keen to look at a striker and a centre back, but I'd want one of them to be permanent. I don't want it to be another loan as such. I'd be interested in the permanent. But if we move on to a wonderful ground, Plough Lane, I'm loving it. I love going there. I think it's great. I've got three things though that I feel like would be beneficial. But I'm interested from your angle, from what your experience at Plough Lane. Anything you feel like, you know what, this would be great for us to improve. Anything that you feel like, you know, that needs a bit of a tweak.
Yeah, a few thoughts. Just back, I didn't answer the Sal question. So his contract is up, not this
Not
summer after.
correct.
So I think let's hold on to him, go for a playoff push. And the Swindon game has become massive. I think if you look at the table, it's a playoff six pointer. Like, it's such a deep.
God, we're in Christmas and we're talking about playoff 6-pointer. This is marvelous work, Nick.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
knew you're the right man for today. I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, and then let's see in the summer. Let's see what we can get for him. Maybe, yeah. But yeah, on Plough Lane. So, yeah, you and I were a similar age.
Both very
I
good
started.
looking, I hasten to add.
I started watching Wimbledon at Selhurst.
Yep.
96, 97 was my first season ticket, and that was the season we got to the two semi-finals.
Good to hear that. Crikey.
And then before that, I think for people listening who might remember this, I started out playing football at Morden Little League, and every now and again, the managers would come round with an envelope of tickets
All
to go
right.
and see a game at Selhurst. Because I think so. I never went to the old Plough Lane, and I think what happened was we'd moved. Obviously, we were struggling to fill it, so the club was giving tickets away to little leagues. So I think the first time I went was 92, 93 in
Okay.
Norwich.
Yeah,
So I
I
went to
remember
a
that.
few games that way, but I didn't get properly into it. One of my good mates from school, CeeLo, hi to him and his dad, Dom. He got me into it. So five of us, we got season tickets, 96, 97. That's how it started. And
Oh,
then,
check you out,
so,
you big romantic.
and then, and then what you go on from there, well, the next 20 years, I've seen us play literally everywhere. I was at Southampton when we went down, Premier League.
Yeah.
Seen us play at Old Trafford, Anfield, Middlesbrough. I studied up in the Northeast. I went to Middlesbrough away once. Went up to Sunderland a couple of years back. Ipswich away, everywhere until last year. I'd never seen us play in Wimbledon.
That's crazy. That's
Hundreds of games. So yeah,
such a wicked story.
it's amazing to be there. It's the first time I've been to a ground, seen us play at home where it actually is ours. I know we own King's Meadow, but that is another club's, is
Yeah, it's nice.
yeah.
No,
So yeah,
I just remember it's about time we used to have a band, didn't we? It's time we had a home game. I remember that really, really well. So go on in, Plough Lane, give us your thoughts quickly. What do
So
you
yeah,
reckon
so
we
I
could
love
do?
it. I think on Saturday, one area for improvement is so gate three, one of the turnstiles is out.
Yeah, that was so
I
annoying.
was
It
like,
took my mate, it took him forever to get in.
that's basics. And also, I mean, critically, that's one of the entrances that people can see from the road. So if we're trying to attract new people to come in and they're driving past on a match day and they see a massive queue to get in, it doesn't reflect well.
No, I'm with you on that. And that's so avoidable. But so annoying because when me and my dad always get in early because A, we're just a bit keen, but also we went once and it was late and the queue was crazy. And at a time where you know, it should be touch, move, touch, move. There's two guys on the gate anyway. You could go old school with a book and just rip, go, rip, go. I just, exactly. Yeah, I don't really understand the touching. If the gate's not working, you just go, right, you got a guy with a tally, yep, team tickets, in ticket, and you can just tally it up. If we're that bothered about the attendance, but no, I that was one of my three. Anything else, Flower Lane, that you feel like, you know, what should be on our list to get better?
I think that, it's definitely been an improvement over the summer. It's just been like the Phoenix.
Yep.
The whole area's been done up. It looks awesome. And that's one of the great things about Player Lane, that the three home ends are joined up.
Yeah, that is really good, isn't it? And it's quite unique, that. It's quite unique to have that.
Well, I think that's where you see the difference about where, you know, it's a fan-owned club and it's a ground that's been designed, you know, with our interests in mind. And also it's a good thing to kind of get the non-hardcore Wimbledon fans in.
People
I think they love to come.
I mean, I think one of the realities as well, go on,
sorry, you always see the exodus at like 42 minutes.
I know, yeah,
we'll go out for their beer. I think they keep trying different things and none of them work, and we're missing out on so much income from not getting that.
I mean, that's literally one of my ones, is like food and drink queues have been mental. And I think one of the things that we have to understand is now we've moved to Plough Lane, we are in a period where we've got some 50-50 fans who are support Chelsea but watch Wimbledon. And we're in the market to be everyone's favourite second team. I've got a lot of boys at the school I teach at, and they're the Chelsea fans, but they're going to watch Wimbledon. And I think that... excuse me, having the pub and having football on and stuff means that kids and families will get there early to watch the early game, will come out to look at the halftime scores because the kids are interested. And to not have food or drink, and again, particularly the food queues, have been astonishing, to say the least. And whether that's an easy win or not, I don't know. But that's definitely an area that I'd love to see improve, because, as you said, we should be trying to maximise every single penny. And I agree. I don't quite feel like we are. The other thing I was going to ask you about was the club shop. Now, I don't know if you've been in the club shop, and Matt Haylock and all of the guys in the club shop, I absolutely love. It was just that when the game starts, we don't really need anyone accessing the club shop from the outside. I just wonder whether it made sense, you know, at half time or 40 minutes. And I know it's tricky because people are working and stuff, but whether or not there's access to open the club shop so you can access it through the inside of the club, if that makes sense. So where the Phoenix is, the club shop, right at the end, one of the club shop doors on the left. It was just a question of whether or not... you could do halftime pickups, or, you know, I'm not a lot of the fan people there are there because they love the club. But if there wasn't someone who was doing something, whether they wanted to open the club shop at halftime, or there was an opportunity to have a concession, or do you know what, you can buy this and you can pick it up at halftime and you pay for it and they get all the shirt, or they, while they're waiting, they can do that and the other, and it's ready. I'm not saying we have to dump on anyone else, of course not, and I'm not trying to be difficult because the guys do an amazing job, but it is just that accessing stuff from the inside. But I don't know whether that's valid.
It might be hard to have the shop running at halftime, but I think what you mentioned, they could put up a stall, just go... And it's just scarves and hats on a cold day.
Yeah. It just particularly, I don't know why, like I said, I think it was just the fact that I just am my old man, but at halftime, I was like, I'm going to go for a walk. I was looking for a couple of the kids who I teach because they were like, oh, come and see me by the club shop. And I went there and I was like, oh, you can't even go into it. And I was like, is that, I don't know many other clubs that would do that, that have a club shop that's open in the game, etc. But I presume everyone who work, and again, it's that assumption that you feel like because you work at Wimbledon, you must be a Wimbledon fan. But that doesn't need to be the case. There could quite easily be somebody who's not a football fan there at all. They just work there. And there's a possibility of having that, again, if it picks up a little bit of business or whatever it might be, or, you know, you can pay now and pick up at half time, or I don't know, if there were certain things, it was just an interesting aside. But let's move on briefly then to the club. So from a club perspective, I've got, obviously, the communications have been better in the short term. Now, I didn't go to the meet the manager on Tuesday, but that was an example that Lee was given about. There wasn't a huge amount of notice. So obviously, I think the communication is a bit of a given. The other thing I wanted to discuss with you was about the tickets rebuy. Now, you're a season ticket holder, is that right?
So no, I'm not. Not this year.
Oh, you're
year.
Not? Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I had a season ticket last year. What I've decided to do this year, I'm kind of a more of a marauder.
Okay.
So I thought, so yeah, as I mentioned before, I come down from North London for the games. It's probably, yeah, best part of a 3-hour round trip. So what I do when I come to games is I use it as a way of catching up with mates who live down that way. So each game, I'll drag kind of 2 or 3 people along and sit in different areas of the ground. So I sat in the main stand 2-3 times. Actually, when we saw each other on Saturday, that was the first I'd gone back to my old season ticket seat to sit with a guy or stand with the guys I had a season ticket with last year.
Oh, that's
year.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, a few times in the East Stand. And I've worked out where I think the best spot is in the ground to watch.
Go on, give it away.
It's in the... well, now I've given it away and everyone will want to sit there. But in the corner between the East Stand and the South Stand. So you've got the seats like diagonally onto the pitch.
Yep.
So you got a great view of the game. And then to your left, you can kind of see across the South Stand. So you can see the atmosphere and the singing and the jumping. So you've got a good view of the
Okay, so you like that
then,
corner.
And then you've got the main stand kind of opening up in front of you. So
I recommend it
to people who want to shop around in terms of where they sit at Plough Lane.
They'll be just sitting next to you going, Nick, you're absolutely right. how easy is it then from you to get tickets? Because one of the big things that frustrates me, and I don't know why we can't do it, but I remember when we were at King's Meadow, we used to get an email every game, are you going to the game? Email the club. There must be a little tick or a little, these are the games of the season that you got. And if you're not going to the game, you can just click the button and your season ticket, you don't need the season ticket. You basically almost give that ticket back to the club. I personally feel that it should be something where if you get either points or you get money off in the shop, maybe a fiver a ticket. If you give your ticket back and they sell it, or if you're happy to sell your ticket back to the club, you get a £5 voucher. Just something simple that would encourage people to go, actually, you know what, if I'm going to miss 4 games over the Christmas period, return, I've got £20, all of a sudden, I've actually got a Christmas present for Auntie Mildred in Scotland, or, you know, little Tommy who wants Pell on the back of his shirt. What do you think that's a decent shout, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think they need to... And they can get that better. I think it's a bigger issue at King's Meadow, because like we were selling out every game, and people were missing out on tickets that could have bought them off a season ticket holder not going.
Yeah,
it's less of an issue at Plough Lane, so we're not selling out. What I'm finding is when I look to buy, and it's easy, but you look at the South Stand, that's all season tickets in there.
Yeah.
So there's the odd seat available, but then when you actually turn up on the day, and a lot of people have turned up, it's the same in the main stand. There's some really good seats in the main stand. But like, oh, I'd love to sit there, you know, maybe above the tunnel at the back of a great view. That's someone's season ticket, but then half the time they're not there on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think the solution is probably more like I think like Arsenal, they probably have it elsewhere, like a ticket exchange.
Okay, that's quite good.
So basically, if someone can't go, they put their seat up, and then someone could buy it. Because otherwise, at the moment, my only choice is from the seats that have not been sold as season tickets, and that's not necessarily all the seats are going to be available for that game.
I like it. That would be a really, really sensible idea. I don't know about you, but a lot of the South Stand gets quite busy, and I know that sometimes the East Stand is quite quiet, and I feel like a lot of those people have bought tickets there. So, as an example, sometimes I'm standing there, my mate's dad and his brother will just turn up. They bought tickets in that East Stand in that corner,
Yeah.
probably in your area, and they move around, and that's cool. But I just feel like there's so many people who are, and again, sometimes it's like, oh, we've sold 7,300 tickets or whatever. But that's including the season tickets, and so some of them aren't coming. So actually, it's good propaganda, if you like, in terms of, oh, aren't we getting loads and loads and loads, which I get. But I just wonder whether or not thinking about we want bums on seats, we want people in the stadium, we want money being spent. Is there an easier way where a fan can just go, I'm not going today, opt out? And if they want to, you do like a, you have to, after this period, you can't opt back, and you can press it and actually go, if we haven't sold it, you can have it back. I mean, it's obviously fraught with challenges, but I wonder if that's an easy win. But there you go. Anything else you reckon from a club point of
I
view?
know. I'd say to that, the trouble is we're not selling out the ground. So I think the impetus isn't there for the club to do anything about it.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think that's actually a really good shout.
And another thing actually, because the crowds haven't been as big this season in League Two. It's almost gone back to the old non-league days. Remember when you'd swap ends at half time?
Oh yeah, I used to love that.
Because now there's, like if you want to watch the end that we're attacking, sitting in the East Stand, you can easily switch. There's loads of room.
Oh, what, so you can go from one corner to the other?
Yeah, I did that. I think I've only done it once, but yeah, the options
Oh
there.
my God, this could all kick off. We could have like empty blocks when we're defending. It's going to be fantastic. Anything else from the club point of view that you reckon we could do better, or anything that Danny Macklin might want to think about as we try and move our club into the next realms of what we're doing?
No, I think they need a chance to bed in, and the two new guys. I think, back to the half-time stuff. I think the major area where we're missing out is, selling more food and drink at half-time.
Yeah.
I don't even bother, and it. I think that's where it's useful to drag mates along because I want to watch the whole football, whereas they're as keen to get a beer as watch a football,
Yeah,
so often
you know that.
I can count on them one of them to slip out and get the beers in at half time, so it's a win-win.
Oh, absolutely, I love that. Okay, so lastly, the last sort of topic was around the Don's Trust. And before we obviously start, I wanted to say congratulations to everyone who went to do the Don's Trust and who voted and put themselves forward. And I'm absolutely delighted to announce Matt Lowndes, James McDonald, Graham Price, Kevin Ryan, Mark Lewis with 2 year terms, and Chris Phillips and Richard Shepherd for 1 year terms. I know there are other people involved, but I wanted to congratulate all of those who took part in the vote, all of those who put themselves forward. It was great to see a diverse group of people putting themselves forward. I guess for you, whether it's something, a message to them or not, just curious in terms of from your aspect around maybe what we need to do from January as a club regarding the Don's Trust. I mean, I'll be blunt, I've made my position clear about where I sit with fan ownership and the like, but I do feel like we kind of need to draw a line a little bit, and we need to kind of take some stock. Let people, we've got a brand new group. Let's give them the opportunity to try and implement some ideas. I feel like we can be quite abrasive as a group towards the Don's Trust. And it's almost like we use it as a, it's sort of, if there's a problem with the club, it's got to be their fault. But I feel like we could probably do better. But I don't know where you sit with the Don's Trust and how it all plays out.
I'm a member. I'm not a very engaged member. I did the votes on the sale of the ground, like the back and two ticks thing. I've never been to a meeting. I've occasionally voted.
Okay.
I didn't vote this time around. And I think I know some of the candidates were. I think they, like their manifesto was. Maybe open to options other than fan ownership. I don't know if any of those guys
Okay,
got
interesting.
elected. I think we pay too much attention to the Don's Trust. I think they're there just to kind of oversee how the club's being run on behalf of us as the fans.
Yeah.
The people running the club day to day are, well, now Danny Macklin.
That's it.
And Mick Buckley kind of as the chairman now. Don's Trust, well, you know, they're just volunteers. They're not professionals. I think we expect too much of them. But then again, it's a weird one, because I think if you were kind of designing kind of something that's best practice in terms of corporate governance, in terms of how a fan-owned football club should be, you know, structured, I don't know if how we're doing it is the right way. It's just something that's kind of, it's set up right at the beginning, and it's just carried on. Like, I don't know if you've read Eric Samuelson's book.
No, I haven't. Any good?
Oh, it's brilliant. You've got to. Yeah. Like,
okay, just, I'm looking to write a Christmas list. I might stick it on there.
Yeah, no, it's a must read. Like, just in terms of, yeah, what happened, you know, from the very beginning to up until quite recently. Like, a lot of stuff, like, I knew there's some bits I didn't realise. Like, I think during the non-league days, I thought it was all kind of our own, you know, our own cash, just ticket sales, merch, that kind of thing. Actually, there was Ian McNay of Cherry Red Records, and then Mike Richardson, they were topping up the budget often. I thought it was just now and again, but it's pretty much all the time.
Wow.
So I hadn't realized that, but to the extent to which we were propped up. But back then, Eric kind of, he was really clear about what he was trying to do. And I think he kind of, he decided what was going to happen, and then just got the Don's Trust to agree.
Okay.
And back then, like, no one knew who was on the Don's Trust board. They didn't really do anything. It's all about Eric, and to a lesser extent Ivor. I think the issue is, and, like, you know, for the first time, you know, we got relegated. Like, we took a step back, and I think that's given everyone a massive wobble. Like,
yeah,
where are we at?
I mean, it's understandable, but at the same time, you kind of want, when you're in a bit of a tricky situation, you do want a little bit of a steady hand on the wheel.
But I think it's more whose hand it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily the what the Don's Trust board is there to do.
I'll get that.
What was the problem for them was, because, yeah, they're not football experts or football governance experts. They probably kind of went to stuff they were comfortable with, like kind of all the corporate social responsibility stuff. And when we were struggling on the pitch, everyone was kind of pointing at that. I was like, why are you even doing this? And using that as a stick to beat them with.
Yeah, that
is unfortunate. And I think there just needs to be, like, I'm 1,000,000% about fan ownership. Like,
that is a lot of percent, Nick. Yeah, for a child accountant, a numbers man, that is a lot.
Over my dead body. we just need to. And I don't know if it's, I think, like, a while back we had some, were they like MBA people, like business students who basically did a review of the structure of the club.
Okay.
And whether we need to do something like that again, just to kind of maybe reset it a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a bad chat. I think with a lot of these sort of things, I think education is crucial, and people actually understanding clearly
what they're there to do.
100%. And I think me, myself, since doing this podcast, and again, people have, you know, people feel that we've done hundreds of hours. We literally just spoke on a WhatsApp for 10 minutes and now we're here. And I feel that sometimes me and Lee in particular, we just two lads potentially in a pub, we and you are just talking in our half needing to do DIY houses, and we're just chatting about football and we're giving an opinion. But whether we've taken enough time to actually do our due diligence and truly understand what the roles are and the different roles that are a part of a Don's Trust, it's not just everyone does the same stuff. I wonder. I mean, like I said, I know we're at slightly different points in terms of our opinions of the club and where it should be governed and, you know, fan ownership and the like. But what I do hope is in January, we've kind of got new football operations guy, Danny Macklin's come in, Richard Buckley. The team are doing well. We are currently, 4 points off the playoffs with a big game on Saturday. I'm hoping that with the Don's trust, we kind of just like put it a bit aside. Let's not get distracted with it. I find sometimes we get quite, it's an important part of our setup. Of course it is. And the people who are involved, you know, is important. And yes, there's been shambles about, you know, hustings and the like, but I just hope we can kind of park it, like you said, park it a little bit, realize what we're about a little bit more, and support the players, because I feel that we've now got a team now who are actually playing quite well, and I feel like I still don't think we'll make the playoffs. I still think we'll be mid-table, but I'm okay with that. But I don't feel like we're in the crisis that we felt that we was, and I think it is so easy. We've lost three in a row, and it's the Don's Trust's head is what we need to take. Yeah, that's just me there. I thought maybe we're, as a club, we need to just sort of take a chill pill and try and work out what our job is as fans. Because I still think as fans, when we're good, we're brilliant. And when we're bad, we're horrid. And I think that's football fans everywhere. But I feel like we as a group in particular are very accommodating for managers, are very supportive, but we haven't quite got that right. Would that be fair, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think we're unique as a football club. I think we've all had a wobble the last few months. So it's got better the last few weeks.
Definitely.
Before that, I think we're all really worried. And I think the relegation had been coming.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. To be honest with you, the COVID year for me was the year we should have gone down. The Tranmere one, where we nicked it. We had the home game and we got a draw. Can't remember we were playing. I think it might have been like Bury, but we played at home. We got a 0-0 draw. Jamie Day, the keeper, made a great save, and we stayed up by a fraction of a point. And Tranmere got relegated in that COVID year. And I always felt that was our year. Where was it? The one where four? I think Fours went home early. He was when he was banging in goals. He didn't. He went back, and we got to that kind of period. And I thought, oh, we're in trouble here. And we dodged a bullet massively. So it was on the cards. I think sort of in a weird way, it will eventually be not the making of us, but it will give us a chance to kind of reset. I feel like all of our efforts around trying to be the fifth from bottom eventually gets you down, and actually being able to aim a bit higher and being actually, no, we want to be top 10, not bottom five, I think might do us better. But I hope,
It's nice to win. I think last year, I think I did a tally. I think I went to 23 games. I saw us win twice.
God,
and that drains you, right?
Oh my God! Man. Well, I was watching
this year, even as a lower standard. Yes, it's nice to see us win.
And it's nice to get excited. But what we'll do then? We'll have a little breather, and we will get very excited about a very, very good game on Saturday between the wonderful footballing powerhouse that is Swindon Town and the in-form League Two team that is your Dons.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Okay, and we are back in our final part of this wonderful Leeless episode. It's been an absolute breath of fresh air, and it's been great having Nick on. We are going to talk about Swindon Town. So, have you been to Swindon before, Nick?
I've been to the town a couple of times. I've got a mate that lives there. I've not been to the ground. I've been warned off it.
Have you really? I remember I nearly went when Swindon were in the Premier League. And they were terrible. And Fashion scored a great goal at theirs. But I went to the game. I think, if I'm right, I think I went the year Paolo Di Canio was manager at Swindon. And we played them. We didn't win. I'm pretty sure he was manager at Swindon. We were terrible. But we're playing them in good form to give you a bit of concept. So you've got a bit of an idea. Swindon's form in the last five games, lost the last two, which is interesting. And obviously, Wimbledon are absolutely flying. We've won four of the last five. Swindon have lost three of the last four, particularly with a 4-0 loss. Looks like Rochdale. Stockport County they lost to. So, coming in, what's your expectations, your thoughts? They lost last time out to Crawley, I believe, which is very, very exciting. So, yeah, what do you feel that we could get out of it? What do we need to get out of it?
It's a hard one because, yeah, we're on this great form. And we beat Leyton Orient. We're deserve winners. So you think we could beat anyone in this league. But then also, we're Wimbledon fans. There's so many false dawns.
Oh my God. How many have we had? It's been ridiculous.
Yeah. And maybe it's the same for every club, but it just feels, we've had a lot. So I'll go 1-1 draw.
Okay.
Just
happy with that?
I'll take it. Maintain momentum. And then we've got, is it Stevenage at home on the 17th?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be a big game because they're doing well. I think they've got, they got Steve Evans, right? He's a coach.
And that's right.
And then Jake Reeves is playing there.
Yes, he's doing all right, apparently, from what I can see.
Well, yeah, it's good. I thought he was lost to football. He had so many injuries. So, yeah, it's good. Like,
he kind of went backwards to go forwards. He left us.
To Bradford.
He did go to Bradford. Yes, he left Bradford, went to Notts County, went from Notts County. He's gone back to Stevenage. I thought, he was great in that playoff year. But in terms of Swindon, I think avoiding defeat would be wonderful. I feel like we're better against better teams, and I feel like we struggle against weaker teams. I think if we beat them, we're going to be a point off the playoffs, which will give us a really, really good energy going into the Stevenage game, who looked decent. I don't think we can. I think we'll just keep it exactly the same. I don't think there'll be many changes. I think they'll do exactly what they were doing. I still would play Biller at right back. I wouldn't be playing Gunter. I'd keep it as it is. It will be what I'm interested in. I don't know where you sit, but obviously Pierce is going to be fully fit, I'd guess. Would you, bearing in mind he's our club captain by the looks of it, and would have seen at the start of the season he was our starting centre back, bring him in? Would you bring him in for Callum Bye? No, I'm with you on that. Or Towler? No.
I think if it don't change your winning team, and for the same reason, he's saying Biller, keep him in. Despite what I said about Gunter earlier on, I think big picture Gunter's a better player, but right now stick with him. Maybe give him a run a few games. He'll probably it's his first stint in the first team. He might run out of steam in a couple of games anyway. Callum Bye, he's done well. I think he's the kind of guy that does well in a battle, like he'll win headers.
Loves a grab.
Good man marker. You don't really want him to, too much.
You don't want him to play against a small, little, cheeky forward. You want him playing against someone big and strong and a handful.
Yeah, he might be all right. Cause I think if he gets tight to the forward, he's good. But I think in the back three where they got on the ball a lot. Didn't play to his strengths. I think he's definitely better in the back two, back four. Sorry, and then even with someone like Towler, who's reads the game well, he's a bit of a sweeper. So I think they're a good combo, and I'd stick with it for now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Alex Pierce is he's got his part to play. I guess the other question for you, obviously, it's wonderful to potentially have NYC back. How is he someone who's going to throw a curveball to our success when him and Davis had a really good partnership and they were playing well? With him coming back, we've kind of stumbled on this great formation now and that works for us. How does he get in our team potentially? And if he does, where would he play?
Yeah, I'd say not yet, but I think earlier when we were talking about signings, and I thought I'd forgotten about NYC. I think he could be, one of our January signings, like attacking player. Cause he didn't actually play a lot before he got injured. Half a dozen games.
Yeah, if that. Yeah, scored some goals. Was decent.
Yeah, he needs to get back match fit. I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't chuck him in straight away.
It'll just be interesting to see how, if he does fit in, whether he's good enough to play when he's fit instead of Courtney Senior, and that means that you've then got Chislett, Asau, Hell, Davison with NYC on the bench, or does he believe that NYC is a centre forward, and that means you've got Davison and NYC, and then you've got to kind of change the shape. And again, I'm like you. We're doing so well. I don't really, really want to change it, but I do recognise that he is quality, and he's got an eye for goal. And it's just how does he fit into our team? That's going to allow us to be really, really good. But I'm really pleased that he's back. I hope we stick the same sort of team. I definitely feel like we've got a win in us. But do I be brave? Do I be not? I think I would. I'm very similar to you, but I'm going to go 2-2. I'm going to go for 2-2. We've defended well of late, which means that we're well due a goal or two against. But I do feel like we're dangerous. I feel like it will continue to show us some of the dark arts. I think that's guaranteed. But it'll be interesting because I think a lot of teams, Gunners come back from the World Cup, we want to keep a bit of momentum. So I think a 2-2 will be good. Looking forward to doing it. It's my little girl's first birthday on Saturday. So we're incredibly excited to... bizarrely, when she was born on the 10th of December. We didn't win a game for the rest of the season from when she was born, which was... She was an incredible curse. We nearly took her back and swapped her for somebody else. But we've kept her. So... Little Dorothy Baker's birthday, so happy birthday to her. Yeah, so it's going to be, I feel like we've had another really, really positive podcast, and it's nice doing it because we obviously love doing it, and it's been great to have you on, and it's just nice to talk so positively, and let's see if we can keep the form up. But Nick, thank you ever so much for joining us. Wasn't so painless, was it?
No, it's great fun. I can keep going, but maybe another time. Thanks for having me. Best wishes to Lee for a speedy recovery. So he's back next week.
I hope so. He said he's losing a lot of weight, and Father Christmas is coming, so he might fit down some chimneys. But yeah, we're both wishing well. I hope he's all right. And thank you ever so much for everyone for putting up with me. I know I'm not Lee, but I'm Danny, and I really appreciate your time today. So thanks ever so much for joining us. Thank you very much to our sponsors, Boardmasters, who do amazing work. You want some windows? Get them boarded up with Boardmasters. But on behalf of us, thanks ever so much. And it's never too early to say Merry Christmas. So laugh for now. Go on, you one blues.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.